We're going to open this session of our study of Philippians in the book of Acts. Let's go to Acts chapter 28. I was discussing with one of the students about Paul's time at Rome, and you will remember that Philippians is one of the so-called prison epistles where Paul wrote this while he was a prisoner at Rome. And the individual that I was talking to had the impression that he was in a prison cell, and it was probably a very, you know, bad, difficult, maybe smelly environment, or, you know, something associated with whatever your mind could conjure up about a Roman prison. But it's important to get a better picture of Paul's circumstance at the time of the writing of Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, from Acts chapter 28. Because it says that Paul continued to hold forth God's word. The result of that in verse 29, and when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul, verse 30, dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. So if you've had a mindset that Paul's in a prison cell, well, he wasn't. He had his own hired house. And it allowed him the continued freedom to teach God's word. It allowed people to come and go from that hired house, and it was a great facilitator for this tremendous outreach that occurred at Rome. Remember when we worked Philippians chapter 1, that the word of God had spread throughout all the Praetorium Guard, you know, that section of the Roman army that was responsible for the care and guarding of Caesar. Great outreach was facilitated. So during these 2 years, Paul had his own hired house, most probably paid for by the abundant sharing of the believers. It was rented, it was hired. So with that in mind, let's go to Philippians chapter 2. We are in the section that deals with 4 examples of service, and we in our previous session read about the greatest example of service, the service of our Lord Jesus Christ, how as a son, being equal with God, having all the rights and privileges and inheritance of a son, that he emptied himself, that he didn't take this as a situation for his own personal gain, but that he obeyed God's instruction. He was obedient even unto the death of the cross. That we are, in a similar fashion, to think those thoughts that were in Christ Jesus. We're to follow his example of selfless service. This is what had slipped at Philippi. The believers were not like-minded. They were more concerned about their own affairs than they were about the affairs of others. So God is pointing out the great example of Jesus Christ's service, of his joy in serving. And now we're going to see 3 other examples of service, the second one being that of Timothy. So in Philippians chapter 2, in verse 19, it says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I may be of good comfort when I know your state." So Timothy, Paul was planning to send to Philippi shortly, so he could learn how they were doing, so he could learn of their state. And then verse 20, describing Timothy, For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. The word like-minded means same-souled. And remember previously in verse 2 of this chapter, the believers were encouraged to be same-souled. Well, here's an example of somebody who was. Timothy was same-souled. He was equal-souled with Paul. They were so like-minded that it was like two souls being one. They were so like-minded in their pursuit of the furtherance of the gospel that Paul, by revelation, can say that I have no man like-minded. There's nobody else that's as like-minded or equal-souled with me as Timothy. And then it says that Timothy, when he would come to Philippi, will naturally care for your state. You know, Timothy must have been a wonderful, loving soul, one who could really love up and care for people, perhaps a pastor, but one who would naturally care for the believers. So Paul's desire was to send Timothy to them shortly so this care could be exhibited. And then look at verse 21. It says, for all seek what? Their own. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. This really gets to the root of the problem at Philippi, the root of the problem that had caused them to lose the joy of serving. It's really selfish, isn't it? You know, for all seek their own. Remember in verse 4, it says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. See, that's how the one body is going to function. That's how the one body is going to work, is when everybody's concerned about what they can do to better their fellow brother or sister, what they can do for the furtherance of the gospel. But what will short-circuit the one body is when people get selfish. Like here it says, for all seek their own. You know, the love of God doesn't do that. But here it says, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. And this is in direct 180-degree opposition to the example of Timothy. But ye know the proof of him, verse 22, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. And again, this is a reference to that custom in the lands and times of the Bible that a son would serve with his father in the family business. Remember Jesus Christ's first recorded words in the Bible when he was 12 years old? Know ye not that I must be about my father's business? Well, Timothy served with his father in the word, Paul, in the family business of the gospel. And by the way, that's something to remember. Jesus Christ, when he said, know ye not that I must be about my father's business, what was his father's business? His father's business is the word of God. That's what he was reasoning with those doctors and people in the temple, was he was reasoning with them about the word. You know, the service that we're to provide, the business that we work with our Father God, that Timothy worked with his father in the word Paul, is the business of the gospel. It's the word. You know, so oftentimes Christians will get involved in good causes. You know, things like building shelters or running soup kitchens or... And all of that can be very, very good, very wonderful, very helpful. But the best is give them the word. See, that's what we're to labor in, is in the word, so that people can get the eyes of their understanding enlightened, so that they can know who they are in Christ. See, this is what was lost or being deteriorated at Philippi. And so Timothy is given as the second example here of one who had the joy of serving, who served with his father Paul in the gospel. It says, for again, verse 22, "But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hoped to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me." This is in that period where Paul, 2 years at Rome, in his own hired house, when he's waiting his trial before Caesar. So he had to learn the outcome, the verdict, before he would feel free to send Timothy unto Philippi. "But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly." You know, Paul's prayer was certainly that he would make it through this ordeal, that he would live, and that he would be exonerated, that he would be set free, and that he himself would be able to come and visit the believers at Philippi. Verse 25, "Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger," and the word messenger is the word apostle, "your apostle, and he that ministered to my wants." Paul supposed it necessary at this time to send unto them Epaphroditus. Now, Epaphroditus is given quite a resume here, isn't it? Isn't he? First, he's my brother, you know, brother in Christ. Companion in labor, you know, in this labor in the gospel. Fellow soldier, one who's fighting the good fight for the Lord. But your apostle. Epaphroditus was a leader, an apostle of the church at Philippi. And he that ministered to my wants. Now, Epaphroditus had been sent by the church of Philippi, the Philippians. The Philippians had sent him to go to Rome and to minister to Paul. He also was sent with another purpose. Look at Philippians chapter 4. It says in verse 18, "But I have all." This is in the context of how God supplied Paul's needs financially. It's this wonderful context of giving and receiving. Verse 18 says, "But I have all and abound, am in full, and am full, having received of Epaphroditus," same guy we're reading about in Philippians 2, "the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to" who? God. So Epaphroditus had come from Philippi, you could say, bearing gifts. He came with their abundant sharing. This certainly, potentially, is how Paul could have his own hired house. And those things were well-pleasing unto God. The church at Philippi was commended, as we'll see in chapter 4, for their continual giving and receiving to support the outreach of God's word, the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Epaphroditus had come with those gifts. He had come with that abundant sharing and delivered it to Paul at Rome. And then he stayed there at Rome to minister to Paul's needs. So quite a resume of this man, Epaphroditus. Again, verse 25. "Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your apostle, and he that ministered to my wants." So he'd stayed in Rome and ministered to Paul, helping him have what he needed, what he wanted. "For he longed after you." This is referring to Epaphroditus while he was at Rome. for he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that you had heard that he had been sick. So evidently, when he gets to Rome, he got sick. And that word had spread back to the church at Philippi. And Epaphroditus longed for the believers at Philippi, for the Philippians. And, you know, he had sorrow because they heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, verse 27, nigh unto death. He almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. You know, Epaphroditus almost died while he was at Rome, but God had mercy on him. He got delivered. And Paul said, boy, it's sure terrific that that occurred, because I would have had just sorrow upon sorrow. This is just another biblical indication that death is not a welcome friend. Death is an enemy. It comes from the adversary. That when you die, you don't go immediately to heaven, but you're dead in the grave, and it's a loss. It's costly in the sight of the Lord, the death of his saints. But Paul is rejoicing because Epaphroditus got better. He got delivered from this near-death illness, whatever it was. So he didn't have to have sorrow upon sorrow. Verse 28, I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. You know, Epaphroditus was being sent by Paul back to the church at Philippi. You know, most probably carrying this epistle with him, delivering it to the church of the Philippians. But Paul sent him carefully, that when you see him again, ye may rejoice. Again, the epistle is about getting this church that maybe is a little down in the mouth, maybe distracted, maybe a little selfish, maybe a little tired, a little fatigued, getting them back to the joy of serving, getting them back to like-minded love in the body of Christ, to holding forth the Word of God, to the furtherance of the gospel. So Epaphroditus is being sent by Paul so that the church could rejoice. Receive him, verse 29, therefore in the Lord with all gladness. You know, this should make you happy. This should cause you to have joy and rejoice that Epaphroditus has come back. Really, he's come back from Rome, but he's also come back from almost dying, and holds such in reputation. You know, he's your apostle. Verse 30, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death. He was sold out. He was committed. He was Paul's companion in labor, a fellow soldier. He was doing the work of Christ, and he almost died in doing that work, but not regarding his life. Again, and this is reproof for what was the problem at Philippi. People were very concerned regarding their own lives and had lost the heart of service. But because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. Now this is an interesting phrase, to supply your lack of service towards me. Well, we know that this lack of service of the Philippians couldn't be that they weren't supplying Paul's financial need, that they weren't abundantly sharing, and that's very, very clear from Philippians chapter 4. Perhaps the best understanding is that Epaphroditus had come to Rome to minister to Paul's wants, as we saw, which was something that the Philippian believers couldn't do from afar. In fact, some of the translations have that in them. Like, for example, one of the translations was to make up your lack of opportunity to minister to me. Why? Because of the distance that separated the Philippians from Rome. Another translation, to do for me in person. This is what Epaphroditus was doing, supplying in Rome, to do for me in person what distance prevented you all from doing. And that perhaps is clarification of what this lack of service is referring to, that Epaphroditus, since he was there, could supply for Paul what the Philippians believers couldn't do from afar. So, three wonderful examples of service given in the second chapter of Philippians to remind the church at Philippi, to remind all of us that we should have the joy of serving. That we shouldn't be overly concerned about our own stuff, but we should be very concerned about the furtherance of the gospel, that we should be very concerned about the Father's business, and that we should have wonderful joy and rejoicing as we carry that work out. Now, there is a fourth example that's given here in this great epistle, and that's the example of the Apostle Paul, but that I'll have to wait until our next session.